of the Suhama County Solid Waste Management Agency Executive Committee. If you'll stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to public comment. If there's anyone out there that has anything to say to the executive committee that's not on the agenda, now is the time.
It's hot.
Is that on the agenda somewhere?
Just put that on the record.
Yeah.
I actually don't have anything today. I just gave you guys my monthly update on Monday, so.
Yeah, and that was this one, right? That was the April one? Okay, hearing no public comment. And the monthly update is in the agenda, so we can move on to that. Hearing no public comment, we'll close public comment, move on to regular items. We'll start with the minutes. Looking for approval of the July 11th, 2016 minutes.
So move. Second.
We have a motion second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Just form only.
Oh.
I wasn't here. I was absent that day.
Okay. All right. Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We'll look for a approval of the meeting for the March 2nd, 2017 meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion?
Second.
And a second? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. All right, move on to the warrant register. Right there. Anything on the warrant register anybody has any question about? Rachel, any comments on it? Okay. Hearing no discussion, a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. On to the grant funding warrant. Any discussion? I had circled the waste tire event, and that's what it cost us for that, for the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And by reading through here, we still have money left for even more. Good, because you were telling me that was the last one.
If we had some money left over, so we're going to try to squeeze in one last one before the grant cycle is over.
All right, I like that. All right, a motion to accept the grant warrant.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Okay, on to our regular landfill only part of the agenda. All of these items are informational only, but we'll start with number one, the mattress recycle law.
So
Rachel.
Our per our goals, we have to report on these items quarterly or semi-annually to you. So that's the reason why you're seeing them all at once, to make sure that we're fulfilling our reporting requirements to you all. So the mattress recycling law, as you know, it was enacted in 2013, amended in 2014, and implemented in 2015. In January 1st, 2016, when the $11 per unit fee went into effect for all mattresses purchased in California, Waste Connections was able to sign a contract with the Mattress Recycling Council. That's the nonprofit stewardship organization that is managing the program for the state of California. Under that contract, Waste Connections actually gets reimbursed for the mattresses collected at the landfill. Because of that, we were able to change our fee for each unit to be no fee for residents bringing in or businesses. And when that went into effect, you can see 2015 and 2016, our collection went up 19%. So that's pretty amazing year over year. And I really believe that's solely because we aren't charging anymore, and people are bringing them in rather than holding on to them or getting rid of them in a way that we don't want them to. Amazing Finds is also a collection site. They accept up to 6 units per person per day. I don't have any data on what they're collecting, but I do know that they are a collection site.
Do they transport them to the landfill? So they just call the landfill and they go pick them up, or how's that?
No. So they're also under contract with the Mattress Recycling Council, who provides the trailer, and then when your trailer is full, you call, they bring another trailer in to swap out, and that trailer is then transferred to Woodland for recycling.
Okay. The reason I ask is because, as you probably are aware, the Hope Chest gets at least a mattress a week.
Right.
Just dumped.
Right.
And I thought if there was a way to include them in some of that, to provide them with something or some direction.
Waste Connections is actually providing the Hope Chest with free disposal service, and that includes all the things that gets dumped there.
The problem with that is it sits there all week until they show up. And you know, they dump on, somebody will dump things there on a Sunday when nobody's around, and they'll sit there all week. But
they can take it to the Amazing Finds. I don't think they have the space to host a trailer, but that's certainly something that we could approach them about if they wanted to.
Yeah, they kind of, I didn't really know exactly what all that was going on there, but I see now. So yeah, anyway, I see what's going on there. I drive by it every day, so that was kind of
situation.
When I saw this. They do.
It's sad.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? All right. If you'd like, Rachel, we can move on to the carpet recycling program update.
Sure. So as you know, Tehama County in 2012 was chosen as one of the 5 rural or 6 rural pilot program sites to kick off the carpet recycling law. It was chosen because the RCRC ESJPA lobbied so diligently on behalf of rural counties that CARE wanted to make sure that the carpet recycling program was going to succeed in the rural counties. For a long time, it was the only place where the carpet recycling program was succeeding, is in the rural counties. But as you can see from the data, year-over-year collection in 2015, we collected 87.3 tons. And in 2016, we collected 61.7 tons. And that's continued to go down because we've had significant difficulties with CARE, which is the Product Stewardship Organization for Carpet. They don't switch out our trailers in a timely manner. They don't provide enough support to the agency or the landfill. And we're not the only site that's experiencing these problems. So when that happens, especially during the winter, the carpet gets wet and dirty, and it gets mildewy, and then it's no longer recyclable and gets landfilled. So our tonnage has gone down. These are difficulties that we've expressed to both the California Product Stewardship Council, which was key in getting the carpet stewardship law signed into law, and to CARE itself, and it has been escalated all the way up to CalRecycle. CalRecycle found, in September of this past year, CalRecycle found the 2015 annual report submitted by CARE non-compliant for the 3rd consecutive year. And as part of that, they're assessing administrative damages against CARE in a tune of $3.2 million.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that.
And that's for their non-compliance for 2012, or 13, 14, and 15. Additionally, in December 2016, the CalRecycle's director rejected CARE's next 5-year plan to continue to administer the carpet recycling program in California, and advised they can come back and submit a revised plan, which was also subsequently rejected. So CARE is no longer considered the approved stewardship organization for the state of California's carpet recycling law. They're still acting as it while the state of California is soliciting bids from other organizations that want to step up and become the new stewardship program.
So what's the outcome or the outlook for that? I mean, are they getting people interested in that, or?
That just happened last month. So part of what's happening right now is CalRecycle is holding a series of workshops that helps you understand what is required of a stewardship organization in order to implement the carpet recycling law, At the same time, they're also coming up with a compliance order for all carpet manufacturers that aren't as part of a stewardship organization. So that compliance order is expected to be complete within the next 3 months. So any carpet manufacturer that isn't part of a stewardship organization will be put on compliance order and will no longer be allowed to sell the carpet in California. So there's significant ramifications from all sides, right? Retailers are nervous because they might not have product to sell. Retailers are nervous. Residents or home builders are probably the ones that are going to be the most significantly impacted. It's not something that I think that the carpet manufacturers are taking lightly. So I know that CARE has intention to resubmit a brand new plan as an application to be the new Product Stewardship Council organization under a whole new plan, be rehired essentially for the same job.
There's going to be a lot of non-carpet products for home builders.
Boy, no kidding. Man, oh man. Which is interesting because carpet is becoming less and less popular. Yeah. But yeah. So if CARE resubmits, what is going to guarantee that they comply then?
That's their plan needs to show that they can comply. And that's something that I think I've mentioned in the past, the current management of CalRecycle is very enforcement oriented. So I think that this was kind of a shock to kind of shook everyone up. They made an example out of CARE. So I think that everyone understands how serious that they are.
Good. Good. It sounds like the contract had teeth. I mean, what, you know, $3.285 million is
right.
Not a, yeah. Not
a lot of that came in the second year of noncompliance because CARE, at the same time it was trying to manage the California carpet law, they created the Voluntary Product Stewardship Program. And basically any person, any company that participated in the Voluntary Product Stewardship Program, if they tried to, or if they supported any sort of EPR legislation elsewhere, they were no longer eligible to get any subsidies, and that I think kind of ticked CalRecycle off. So when that happened, they raised the daily penalties up significantly. It was like $5,000 a day.
Boy, that adds up quick.
They did not take that. They mentioned that was one of the reasons.
Mm. Well, good. I think it's a great program. I'd hate to see it stumble like this.
Right.
I mean, if we can keep that stuff out of the landfills and do something else with it, anything we can keep out of the landfills.
It's a significant volume. And another thing I wanted to point out that CalRecycle noted is that the next five-year plan that CARE submitted didn't show any propensity of CARE to give subsidies to collector sites that are offering collection at a subsidy rate like ours. So we would continue, we lose a significant amount of money. It costs us about $130 per ton to recycle carpet versus $44 per ton to landfill it. So when I joined the carpet council, I was like, you know, maybe you guys should be considering something like this because you won't get very broad collection or easy collection if people aren't being subsidized for what they're offering. And they didn't include that. And I had written an email to CARE and the CPSC, and that was broadly circulated. So I'm happy about that.
Good, yeah. Yeah, I am too. I like the fact that our agency is kind of on top of all that stuff.
Yeah, it's important.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It puts a good light on us. Okay, anybody else on this? If you're ready, we can move on to the monthly update.
So, as I mentioned before, these will continue to be part of our agenda. Mm-hmm. So, and the only thing I wanted to touch on is in our monthly update for April, I mentioned that we, item number 9, that we created this whiteboard video to show residents how to properly dispose of medications. So I wanted to show it to you guys. This is available on our website for anyone else in the public that wants to view it.
Are you unsure? brochure of how to dispose of leftover medications after they're expired or no longer needed? You're not alone. If you store leftover medications in the cabinet thinking they're out of harm's way, they aren't. They can easily end up in the wrong hands, posing risks to our children. How about throwing medicines in the trash? Out of sight, out of mind, right? Wrong. Unused medication can be found by children and pets and potentially cause accidental poisoning. Additionally, landfill medication can leach into the ground. What about flushing unused medicines down the toilet? Once they are flushed, they go into the water supply, our water. Even after treatment, medications can linger, potentially polluting our drinking water and harming the sea life. The good news? There's a solution. Take your unwanted and expired medicines to a take-back collection location nearest you. The Don't Rush to Flush program provides free and safe disposal bins for leftover medications throughout your community. Don't Rush to Flush bins protects our kids, pets, community, and environment. Plus, it's free and it's easy to do. Don't Rush to Flush. Meds in the bin, we all win. For more information and to find a bin near you, visit don'trushtoflush.org.
We created this in partnership with Butte County and the California Water Stewardship.
Yeah.
Kids and dogs.
I like it, yeah. And, you know, you see those ads, and they're drawn.
Yeah.
I guess that's somebody that's actually drawn. It doesn't look like it's faked in there, not thinking.
I don't know. It's kids and dogs. How can you say no?
People are way more talented than I'll ever be.
Can't say no.
Rich, was that you drawing that?
What's that?
Was that you drawing that?
I don't want to brag, but...
That's really good.
So that's we've had several of our partners that are, I know the Drug Free Community Coalition is circulating it. We have the library circulating it. It's on our website, and anybody else who wants to circulate it, we're more than happy to. It's on YouTube too.
Is there a way that you could get that on like a public service spot on regular broadcast television in our local channels 12, 7, and 24?
I can see what kind of funding we can come up with for something like that.
As public service, I've got to think that they're obligated as a broadcast television station. They're obligated to do a certain degree of public service, and that's a good one. That's a real good one.
The Department of Ed has our local public station.
Oh, they do? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll talk to Cynthia. If there are any other questions about any other items on the monthly update, I'd be more than happy. Monthly updates, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I breezed through this as quick as I could. Number five, the used oil collection that we set up in Corning. That's I thought that was up and running and ready to go, but no, that's that's had a problem.
So no, the Corning I think is in Corning, and we are relocating it to Richfield.
Right.
We've been waiting on the funds from CalRecycle. We were supposed to get them last month.
Right.
And we received an email last month saying that they've had significant difficulty switching over to their new accounting program. And they aren't expecting to send out the payments until late May or early June.
Oh, okay.
So in the meantime, we have no more money to do it. We have to wait until we get our payment. Actually,
yeah.
We have $50, Rich informed me today. It's going to be slightly more than
$50.
They have lost our money.
You have to talk to CalRecycle. They delayed our money. $24,000.
I remember when we went over this a month or two or three ago or whatever it was, that was in Richfield, and everything was online. Everything was ready to go. And everything
it wasn't online. At that time, we signed the agreement at that time with Richfield, and that was in March. And we were expecting to get our money in April to start the transition. We have the tank cleaned. We have to lay pour a concrete cement slab there, and we have to move it there. We have the quotes and everyone ready to go. We just don't have the money to pay for it yet.
Okay.
So it's as soon as we get the funding, it's ready to go.
All right. Yeah.
And
okay.
Richfield Recycling is chomping up a bit to get it.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good, yeah. I thought that was all a done deal, but not quite.
No, not quite.
Of course. Okay. So, I was looking at number 8.
Of April? 8 on April's?
On April's, yes.
Yes.
and that was with the Board of Supervisors directed County Council to draft an ordinance for pharmaceutical drug and Sharps Take Back program. That was something that, that we were asking all of the incorporated cities and county to come up with an ordinance. And I know that that came before Red Bluff Council, and I think we were kind of directing the staff to do that. I don't know that we ever heard back on that. Do you know anything?
I think Clay spoke at the, on the 25th at the board, and then he indicated that Red Bluff, if the county didn't act Red Bluff, would create its own ordinance, but it just preferred to latch on to whatever ordinance the county created so we have a more uniform program.
Right.
And that is something that we do want. We do want a uniform program. So I know I received word back from Rick Crabtree and Christina Miller saying that as soon as the county passes the ordinance that they will, they want to latch on to the same ordinance.
Do we know if the county has gotten ordinance written or close to ready to submit? Or
no, it's not Arthur Wiley.
Right.
And then so...
But we're in transition to...
Yeah,
I met the new guy. Where did I meet him?
He's Jim? Our former attorney.
Yeah, he's the landfill attorney that we had, remember?
For two decades.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's why he was
real
so
nice
familiar.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was. That's why he was so familiar. I saw him at a restaurant or something. Yeah. I forget where. But
2 decades he was our attorney.
He moved here a year ago when he retired. He has grandchildren here.
He never raises rate in 2 decades. I know.
That's great. Yeah. No, he's a good guy. So we may have a little bit of a delay because we're transitioning with staff too.
Sure.
We do have, I think, a new assistant DA position that should be filled real shortly, but we do have some transition, but it's something that we want to make sure everybody's on board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we don't want to rush it.
No.
Yeah, no, it needs to be done right.
Everybody has to be able to live with whatever we come up with.
Yeah. All right, good. Good to know.
But it's coming, and we've already collected a ton of pharmaceuticals with our places, the two places that we have where people can drop them off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's great.
We sure don't want it in the groundwater.
Boy.
The dogs and the kids.
We've got to take care of them.
Well, us too.
Yeah.
Especially exactly. Those areas where we have unincorporated areas and we have a lot of leach lines and such.
Yeah.
Septic tanks.
Yeah, and that goes right in. Yeah, unfiltered. Number 11, the mattress recycle thing, a total of 5,650 mattresses and box springs were recycled. 748 were deemed unrecyclable. Are they just so damaged or dirty or torn up or something that they just won't take it?
There are certain qualifications in which the Mattress Recycling Council will not accept it. If they've been mangled by a compactor in a truck, if they've gotten moldy or overly dirty, and if they've been contaminated with bed bugs. If any come in like that, then they go straight to landfill.
Huh.
So who inspects for bed bugs?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
We don't inspect, but some mattresses come in and it's written on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so when that happens, they just take the forklift and drive it over.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Well, if you get one mattress full of bed bugs in that container full of they've all got bed bugs in it.
Yeah, cause luckily we haven't had any trucks returned.
Wow.
So... Yeah.
Sheesh.
Any sort of textile, if it's moldy, it's deemed non-recyclable. It's carpet, textiles, or mattresses and box springs.
So next time you buy a mattress, you want to make sure it says recycled materials.
They refurbish mattresses.
I know they do.
Yeah.
That's why they want it in pretty good shape. Rob's gonna start sleeping on a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm not so sure about all that. Yeah, that's creepy just thinking about it.
That's kind of creepy, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Number 15 was the one that we just spoke about briefly, was the tire take back.
Yes.
The event is scheduled for June 3rd.
Yes, and so. We'll be at the Corning Park and Ride, at the landfill, and every single transfer station in the county.
Boy, I think that is a great program too.
Great.
I put it in my phone. So that day or the day before, I usually during the month or 2 months, I notice where there are tires laying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some in the alley over here, some in the, you know. And so that day, I try to remember where they all are and just go pick them up. I mean,
that's good.
If it takes me an hour or 2 hours or whatever, I'd much rather do that than have him laying out there forever.
I don't think I've worked a tire collection event that I don't see him.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and will it be accepting them on or off the road? So we have about...
Oh.
How much money in disposal costs? 30?
38.
Yeah.
On or off the rim?
Yeah, so we have about $38,000 in disposal costs left. So usually we only have it at one transfer station. We'll accept them at any transfer station.
Have you noticed by the... Where am I? If you've noticed over here by that used estate sale place, it's across the street from the gas station on the corner of Monroe and Walnut.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be the old plumbing shop. There's about a half a dozen tires sitting alongside Monroe Street, mm-hmm. right alongside that place. They've been there for a month or more. And I noticed that some of them are on the rim, if not all. So if they could get a special notification, bring those in so they don't just sit there forever, because obviously
who
they're not
that?
I don't know.
Walker Farms needs notification too.
Who does?
They're out Reeds Creek Road, Walker Farms. They actually got cited and they need a place to put their tires.
Good.
It'll help them.
Good.
We just need to figure out who the property owner is.
Yeah, I think just go into the place and say, hey, you got tires. This is what we want to do with them.
Okay.
What can you do? Yeah, and I don't know if you guys were out at the last one at all or went by there. When I was there, there was a line.
Slammed.
There was a line 10 cars deep. Yeah. One guy had this huge trailer that was, I mean, it was huge. The trailer was at least 8 feet wide by 20 feet long and
like
8 foot tall. Full.
It was like that for the majority of the event. It was crazy.
They can only haul 9 tires.
Yep. We have to register as an unregistered waste tire hauler.
Yeah.
And they do that. And they get a letter for the recycle.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I mean, if they're bringing them in, take them.
And we do. We don't turn them away.
Yeah.
We don't recommend that people break the law because the ticket is immense. But if they come with them, we'll take them.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It's better than seeing them in the
I think it's amazing.
Creek.
Yeah, I know that some of these ranchers sell a ranch that's been in a family for 100 years, and the new owner drives around and sees all of the gullies full of old tires.
Yeah.
I fly over. I mean,
they used to.
Them.
They used to make money
right.
hauling the tires off.
That's right.
They had a tire shop, and they'd just come in, hey, I'll do it for $1 a piece. Sure, here you go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Fill their gullies up and stuff.
Yeah.
That's why they went into that,
yeah.
to stop that.
Anyway, that was all I pulled out of this. Anybody else for the monthly update? Good update. I like your updates. Okay, we'll move on to the next one, the Smart Business Alliance quarterly update.
So we've been working pretty hard on this. We've grown our SBA partnership to 40 partners now. That's pretty big.
Is this the 40 partner list? Is that all 40 partners?
Yeah. And they just seem to, now that they seem to be coming in droves, so that's great. But, you know, we developed that program as an incentive to get people to comply with the mandatory commercial recycling law. So we do, I just want to point out, we do have 40 partners, which have all been, they've really taken advantage of our outreach. We do a lot of outreach with their staff or their residents in their community or whomever. And then they enjoy that Waste Connections provides that 3 free months of transitional recycling service. But we've also had several businesses that have started recycling, not joined the program, but started recycling as a result of our outreach efforts as well. So since down here I have a kind of a breakdown, since 2013, when we started really keeping track of the data, we had a 42.8% compliance rate with AB 341. In 2015, it was 66.5%. And at the close of last year, when we did our final data crunch, we're over 70%. So that's pretty good considering we don't have a mandatory commercial recycling ordinance. It's all through our outreach efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have a total of, I think, 110 non-compliant businesses in the whole county.
And outreach is mostly Rich and Paul? I mean, I'm not trying to exclude
Paul.
You, but I think,
Paul.
Yeah.
It was me, now it's Paul.
Yeah, man, that's fantastic. Also, the city of Red Bluff just kind of raised the issue about curbside recycling and the blue containers that there were many, and apparently it was available, but nobody knew about it. Many of the commercial businesses in town that would do small recycling didn't have the means. You know, they were given the bin 15 years ago or whatever, and that's as far as it ever got. So they never recycled. And me being one of them. So I said, hey, what about this? And Amanda came to the meeting, and so it became much more
publicized
and readily available.
I'm surprised that, Waste Connections has always charged for those from businesses, and it's like
right.
$20 a month.
Right.
So to say that that's the base level that they're willing to give it, that I feel that that's a new thing.
I think it is.
I'm appreciative of it because it helps us get people compliant.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they're liable to meet in their contract the diversion
right.
level. So it's to their benefit.
It is.
So.
Has Bulk gone to Good Morning Red Bluff for outreach?
Yes, yeah. He goes at least quarterly. Yeah, which is, you know, we're such a small staff, that's a significant commitment. Yeah. Right, and he just went this month, and I think he went last month. We've also hosted Good Morning Red Bluff, too.
That's I think right. We were there, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
And we had a meeting right in the middle of it, didn't we? We had to leave before we all had to leave.
Yeah, we all left. But I've been shopping there at least quarterly.
I have to implement a limit on his shopping. We just restocked.
Oh, I'll have to come out and see the new merchandise.
Browse the shelves.
I needed some white Rust-Oleum paint the other day, and I went and bought some because I didn't have time to drive all the way out there.
Big mistake.
I just got some oil for my weed eater.
You know, I don't think of that stuff either. I just need to, when I'm out there, I should just pull in. The problem is I'm usually out there on weekends, and I don't have the chance.
I got some Goo
Gone. Mm-hmm. Goo Gone,
yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, yeah.
She pays well, too, though. She took brownies out, too.
It's hard to compete with that.
It's hard to compete with her brownies.
We'll settle for chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah. I already tried. Steve told
her
not to bring
them. Oh, yeah. He's sitting way too close to me to be telling me that.
She is not telling the whole story tonight. She's throwing me under the bus, and I was nowhere near.
And you were the one
bus.
Driving the bus. Yeah. All right.
If it wasn't cooler outside, I would have threw them outside when they told us. That'd be a benefit to get tossed out today.
Dave was over there salivating. He knew she had cookies in his pocket. Yeah.
I didn't eat lunch today.
Yeah. Well, now you're really hungry.
She's gonna feel really bad tonight.
I feel guilty saying that.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody's got anything more for this Smart Business Alliance quarterly update, if not, we can move on to the grants update. Got anything for us?
All right. So I'll make this quick. So our CalRecycle Household Hazardous Waste Cycle 25 grant, we had a few goals. The first goal was to partner with Call to Recycle to collect alkaline batteries at 10 programs. This is the pilot all battery box, all batteries and cell phones. This is complete. And we focused on in Corning because they don't have a curbside battery recycling program down there. We actually partnered with 11 retail and governmental organizations. So far we've collected 438 pounds through these boxes and 41 cell phones. The second goal was to promote the proper recycling, disposal and recycling of alkaline batteries through a multimedia outreach campaign. This is also complete. And we had a billboard that was designed and approved by CalRecycle, and it ran through January 2017. We also ran radio ads and newspaper advertisements. The third goal is to conduct upgrades, improvements, and purchase PPE for both of our hazardous waste facilities. This is also complete. We painted both our facilities, and we upgraded the fire suppression systems, which hadn't been inspected or upgraded in the better part of a decade. And we have been continuing to keep these. We do our semi-annual inspections. We also purchased the PPE, and we had some leftover money, and we just recently purchased some more. The fourth is to conduct a general HHW program multimedia campaign. This is in progress. We have a billboard that will run at the intersection and 1136 East. It'll run through January of 2018. We have a poster that focuses on campsite HHW that's been designed and approved by Cal Recycles. We've distributed to 10, more than 10, I think, campsites throughout Tehama County. Lassen Park specifically likes that poster. They've just recently requested 12 more copies of it to put up around theirs. We also are currently developing an alternatives to chemical cleaners that we'll be promoting at the farmers markets. This will include window cleaner, shower scum cleaner, furniture polish, things like that. I think that's probably what Paul called you
about. Paul called me about that. Yeah, and he he was looking for a piece of like shower door glass.
Or just a window.
Yeah, and the windows that I get, usually the windows that I get that I take out, that I change, the glass is blown. So it's fogged inside, so that really wouldn't show a way to clean it.
Okay.
And shower doors are far bigger than I'm sure that he wants. But
we have a shower door already.
Okay.
We've recovered from the landfill.
Okay. Okay. You want me to keep looking?
Yes.
Okay, I will.
The second grant is the Household Hazardous Waste Discretionary Grant Cycle 27. We were awarded $75,000. It has seven different goals. The first is to establish temporary collection events and seasonal collection events for 1 pound propane cylinders. This is in progress. We partnered with Lassen Park and Black Butte to host special one-day collection and seasonal exchanges. This will kick off this summer. We actually have our first event at Black Butte at the end of this month, with our kickoff event at Lassen in the beginning of June. We also had a kickoff event at the Roundup, and we're in the parade promoting the exchange. The second goal is to pay for the disposal and recycling of the small cylinders that are collected through these seasonal collection events. This is in progress because we're just getting these events going. And we've partnered with the Tehama County Probation Metal Shop to create the receptacles that will be put around. They're making 20 of them for us, so that we got it a killer deal because of the program. And we'll be distributing them around the county, and we will do a milk run like we do our fluorescents to collect those from the parks or the recreational areas for disposal and pay for the disposal of the grant money.
So U-Haul, mm-hmm. rental, do they sell the 1 pound canisters?
Mm-hmm. And they refill them.
And they refill them?
And Napa in Corning is, okay. They're waiting on their equipment, but they're coming soon.
And so are they helping collect containers for us too?
No, we're trying to recruit retailers that will. Okay. And if we can get any that will, then we'll pay for the disposal and promote the business.
Okay.
Well, I sure think if they're going to sell the 1 pound, they would have, it would be to their advantage to be a take back for the other cylinders, yeah.
People could bring in their disposable and their disposable pound, mm-hmm. perhaps at a discount or something, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
The third goal is to pay for promotion of retail locations where refillable propane cylinders can be purchased, exchanged, or refilled. This is in progress. We have U-Haul and Napa Auto Parts currently. We've been diligently working on recruiting other organizations. And we have several very interested parties. And our current poster that we use to advertise the program actually just has a QR code for people to scan that will show them anywhere in California where they can go to get their cylinders refilled. So it's not just specific. They could be traveling, and they could be able to find a location. The fourth goal is to pay for promotion of retail locations, taking back disposable cylinders for disposal. We're still trying to recruit some locations. The fifth goal is to collect data on the gas cylinders properly recycled through these events. This is in progress because, as I mentioned, we're just now getting started and kicking off this season.
So what do we do with them when we get them, the disposable ones?
We dispose of them through their HHW facility.
We pay for them to take them away.
Yeah, so somebody else comes and gets them and hauls them off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stericycle.
Stericycle does.
At $350 each.
Okay.
That's why we want to get people away from. They're more expensive to dispose of than they are to purchase when they're full of gas in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say use them for target practice.
They're recording you.
Then they're just scrap metal.
The sixth goal is staff and consultants already said that one. The seventh, or no, I didn't. The sixth goal is staff consulting costs to collect data on the new cylinder purchases, refills, and exchanges. We're currently partnering with our local retailers to collect that data. And the seventh goal is to pay for our annual 8-hour Hazwalker refresher course that our staff has to do in order to operate our facilities. We did our refresher 2016. We'll have another one in the fall of 2017. And that's just nice because that's an obligation the agency has anyhow, so it's nice to get funding to help support it. Mm-hmm. The Cal Recycle Waste Tire Amnesty Grant, we kind of already touched upon this. We have held six passenger tire collection events and two agricultural collection events over the past 2-year cycle. We do have enough money to hold one more, and we will on June 3rd at the Corning Park and Ride at the landfill and all of the transfer stations. The Cal Recycle Beverage Container Recycling Grant, RBC 26, this concludes June 30th, 20th of this year. The goal was to purchase and install 55 outdoor dual trash and recycling receptacles at 10 Red Bluff Parks, the Red Bluff Community Center, and the two larger branches of Tehama County, and that's complete. Conduct hands-on beverage container recycling outreach to at least 50 businesses, and conduct 15 waste assessments, that's complete. And develop and publish a business-friendly commercial recycling flyer, newsletters, and e-blasts monthly that highlight beverage container recycling and the Tehama County Smart Business Alliance, and that is also complete. That goal is complete. We are currently working on our final report. Cal Recycle Used Oil Payment Program. We have expended all but $50 of this grant cycle. We use it to support our used oil recycling program throughout Tehama County. Cycle 7, we use the money for the same purpose, and we're currently expecting to get the money in late May or early June. And last is the City-County Beverage Container Payment Program, and we receive about $25,000 a year from each of our member jurisdictions, and we use it to promote recycling and conduct outreach events throughout the community, mainly to remain 8939 compliant. And having said that, I will pass it off to Rich unless there's any questions.
Not for me.
No, I'll pass it off to Rich.
No. All right, Rich.
Okay, real briefly, she stole my thunder on the tire amnesty. But that's a wonderful thing. On the April 8th event, we did also have Paul out doing our composting presentation, so all three of us were busy that day. And actually, he came over to help Rachel towards the end of the event. I was the fortunate one out in the hailstorm in Las Molinas. It was awesome. The HD27 grant, we did participate in the regular roundup and had a booth out there, which was pretty good. We got the word out to a lot of people. We also had a float, I guess you would call it, in the parade. I couldn't convince Paul to dress up like a rodeo clown as much as I tried. It didn't happen.
Or propane.
It was somewhat successful. I did have people approach me at the roundup booth wanting to recycle their canister, so it was really good. Were you
able to take them?
Yeah, oh, we were okay. Set up. We did have some people exchange there at the roundup.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we promoted outside, and some of the people that actually spoke to us over Friday and Saturday came in on Sunday with their disposables, and we were able to exchange with the
silver. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And we have several more. We have more events like that coming up that will be even more promoted, and I think even more successful the way we have it structured. We'll talk about that.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. This past Saturday, Paul and I were fortunate enough to work for our kids exhibit at the children's fair at the fairgrounds, which was really great. If you were there, you got to see Rich, the action figure finger puppet maker, in action with a bunch of children using recycled items and making some fun things. And it was awesome until somebody just grabbed me the caterpillar they wanted to make, and it was on. So leave it at that. It was a lot of fun. We also went out to Antelope School and did the for our kids exhibit as well for a couple, I think, four different classes out there. The other big thing we did is I went down to the California Green Summit in Sacramento to promote the RMDZ, trying to lure companies up here to the area. And I did have a few significant conversations, so we'll see what happens with that. Paul and Rachel, we're very fortunate to go to the Sunshine Schoolhouse Preschool and give a recycling presentation. So that's pretty much all I had. The other stuff's pretty much the...
What was the Sunshine Schoolhouse Preschool?
We kept talking about recycling, and we played the recycling relay race with about 35 four-year-olds.
Four-year-old?
Yes. And I was just thinking to myself, I have to go home and deal with my four-year-old now. I'm tired.
Any questions?
No.
Okay.
I think we're good.
So, Rachel, I have a question for you. Christine, I used to come in and do, during public comment, talk about a lot of these events coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be nice to hear what you've done again, just as an update to the rest of the, well, for the record, I guess.
So you want me to come in before an event?
Either before an event or after an event to share, you know, what you've done.
Okay, sure. My plan was, once we find out about TA4 and HD29, to give an informational presentation to the board regarding all of our grant programs. And that kind of, I think that might get the word out about everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that would also promote our upcoming programs too.
Because I know I've heard some of this stuff before, but you know, being in these meetings, it reminds me
mm-hmm.
about certain things that I need to do to recycle. And you know, I just think it's kind of fun to learn also about like the kids and the different programs that you do. And that you're in the parade, I actually saw you, but still, you know, neat to know how active you are and all the things that your department does.
We are active.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. It's good for everybody to know that.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
I really appreciate all you're doing.
Okay, well.
Next executive committee meeting.
Is it here or is it over there? Because I was at the wrong location.
I think it's in Corning.
I think it's in Corning. Let me look.
Okay.
I'll have to verify that, though. Don't keep taking that word.
99.999%
I didn't put it down. Yes, I would.
So you don't know that exactly. I always say that, and then Jeff goes, "So you don't know."
Well, I think it's written right here, but I was still in the wrong spot.
I'll have to verify and I'll send that email.
Yeah, it says Red Bluff City Council Chambers.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt pretty stupid after.
For some reason, I don't. You don't know what date it is.
The third.
It's the third. Oh, yes.
I've got it on the third, but I didn't.
I have Executive Council Landfill 5:30 Red Bluff, but that may not be right.
I don't have.
Okay.
Where do you see that?
You think it's Corning?
I
looked at the schedule yesterday, and I will.
Okay.
Very
sure. So maybe you can send it. Email out to us and
sure.
Yeah, because usually I'll put Corning in and I didn't, so
yeah.
We'll check the approved.
Yeah.
We'll let you know for sure.
Yeah. And if it's in Corning, Lynn, you'll take brownies to
I'll
Dave.
Charter Leonard. Tracks bus.
You'll charter a tracks bus to get us all down there. Okay.
Now we might have a crowd now. You're bringing brownies, so okay.
All right. Well, if there's anything else for anybody else?
No.
If not, it will adjourn at 6:18.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good report.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. Good job.
Okay. Let's get out of this.
I like what we do here.
Yeah.
Good night, all.
I'd love to stay and talk.
It's cooler outside.
Yes, it's cooler outside.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. We did a sign off on these two things.
The hour sounds up.
Yeah, first day my AC kicked on yesterday.
No, my other half is a stay-at-home dad.